Good afternoon, my AOWs. I apologize. I missed an upload last week. It was an incredibly busy week with the annual Menopause Society meeting in Philadelphia. I am back with a brand new episode today, and it is World Menopause Month. So October is a really very, very exciting and busy month for me. So I thought I would tell you a little bit about what I am doing. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be all over the map. So I'm headed to Toronto. I'm going to be a guest on The Social on CTV in Canada on the 17th. I'm not sure what day it's going to air. And then I'm doing a live event with Dana Leviston on October 18th, World Menopause Day. You can get tickets on Instagram. You can DM me if you want to go to that. There is only a few left, and prices are going to increase on October 9th just to push you to get your tickets. It's going to be an incredibly amazing live event. I also have some really exciting things that I'm doing later on in the week. I'm going to be giving a talk to Apple. I'm going to be giving a talk with Paramount. I'm going to be seeing patients in New York City October 26th and 27th, as I have been doing, but I'm going to be bopping back around from a bunch of big cities this month. I'm so excited. So stick around. Follow me on Instagram. I'm at Heather Hirsch, MD. On my stories, you can almost always see some of the behind the scenes. All right, today's episode is with Jen Trepik. We have an incredible conversation about wellness, health coaching, and body image, diets, what has worked, what hasn't worked. And I kind of been doing this series interviewing folks from different sort of wellness coaching backgrounds on this topic. And one of the reasons I think I actually particularly enjoy this is because I always say to my patients, you know, I am not a registered dietitian. I am not a certified fitness instructor. And so certainly while I can give you a lot of the medical aspects and knowledge and treatment options, you know, I still have my own limitations. And so I really enjoy having these guests on to talk about not only their personal journeys, but what they've found worked, what the science shows on sort of specific diets and nutrition. It's just so fascinating to me. So Jen, also an incredible podcaster. She has her own show. It's Salad with a Side of Fries. Absolutely just a wonderful human, really understands the human element of things, right? You could tell by her podcast name. So without further ado, let's jump into the episode. Hi, and welcome to Health by Heather Hirsch, a podcast dedicated to uncovering many of the women's health issues many of us are wondering about, but few of us are talking about. My mission is to expose the current gaps in knowledge and care on all things women's health. Enjoy. If you love the show and you're dying to work with me, there is a couple of different ways that you can do so. First, I have an incredible menopause course. It's called the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass, and don't be fooled, it also is for women in perimenopause. In this course, I teach you how to thrive. It's my signature method to help you figure out what HRT regimen is best and right for you and how to make adjustments, and then how to get this from your own doctor. Now, I also see patients in my private telemedicine clinic. I have a license in several states and I'm always working on more. You can go to my website, heatherhirschmd.com, to find out if you want to take the course and join our incredible Facebook group with monthly lives or work with me one-on-one. Now, I hope I get the chance to work with you. And thank you so much for listening to the show. I am so excited to have Jen on the show because we've been doing a lot of episodes on Health by Heather Hirsch, like about mindset, health, wellness, and like we had Liz Ward on talking about supplements, and just there's just so much there. And all of these episodes always spur more conversations, more questions. And I actually really love having like more people's voices. And so today I have Jen with me, who is the host of the podcast Salad with a Side of Fries. And I will link all of that in the description below because you're definitely going to want to check it out. But welcome, Jen.
Thanks for having me, Heather. I'm so excited for us to chat.
I'm so excited. There's so much that we could talk about. And I always like to start by really giving you the floor. This is actually what I say to my patients, really giving you the floor to tell me your story. Like, you know, how did you How did you end up in health coaching in sort of wellness space? Like, what was your own journey? Because that always sets the stage for like so many things.
Absolutely. And like so many of us who end up working in this space, it was a personal reason typically, right? So I sort of joke that I grew up the skinny one in a family of dieters. My family probably hates that I say that. But I was a dancer growing up. And I ate healthfully, but I could really eat whatever I wanted. It wasn't really a thing. But it was a thing for a lot of people around me. So then everyone, you know, especially, you know, in my house, like there was always some sort of diet happening. And I started to gain weight between high school and college. And so I was like, okay, I know what to do, right? I watched my family do this my whole life. You do this diet. And then when you gain the weight back, you do that diet. And it was like, I knew that roller coaster thing, but I also thought that I was going to be different and I was going to like do one, check the box and call it a day, which is not at all what happened. So I did one diet and then another diet and lived on that roller coaster, that yo-yo, whatever you want to call it, all through college. After college, I went to the University of Michigan and then moved to New York City. And it was the same thing. It was always trying to figure this thing out and living in that battle of like hating going to the store and trying on clothes because what size fit, I was like, who is this person? Right. And I think because I was a dancer too, when I gained the weight, I was so much more aware of that. And like where my body is in space and all those kinds of things, right? Like, I think I was like hypersensitive to it.
For sure.
But so I did that roller coaster. I did all the things. And then I was working in hedge funds and it was sort of like worlds collided because I was looking for something to do outside of my full-time job in an effort to not have to work for somebody else for the rest of my life. At the same time, I had my saga of weight management going on. And I learned about the curriculum that I've now actually based my practice on. And two things about it really struck me when I learned about it. The first thing was that the people were keeping the weight off. And I was like, okay, you know. And then the second thing was this woman, I have no idea what her name is or where she's from. Like, if you hear this and this is you, like, please contact me. but she was telling her story of losing like 150 pounds. And I was sitting there looking at her and I couldn't see where 10 pounds could have been on this woman's body. And she's telling me that the equivalent of another human was attached to her. And I remember having this moment with myself of like, Jennifer, they know something you don't know. Because with everything you know, that doesn't make any sense. So it was like, get over yourself. Right? Yeah. So I worked with a coach. I followed the program. Completely changed my life. Like,
oh, well, we all want to know.
Thing I know. Like, the only thing that allowed me to say I've kicked my food issues. And really, it was, as I call it, it's like the nutrition education we're all supposed to know and no one ever taught us. And so I sat there and I was like, well, everybody deserves this information. Like, this is human. This isn't even, you know, weight or body image related. Like, this is the human body, right? And so I was like, okay, this is my thing. This is what I'm going to do outside of my full-time job. And, you know, eventually just work for myself. So I started health coaching. So I got certified. I started health coaching in late 2007. So it's been a minute.
Not new to and, this.
Right. Okay. And then, so I built my business on the side for 12 years. I left my full-time job July of 2019, launched the podcast in August of that year. So Salad with a Side of Fries is all nutrition, wellness, but like for real life. And now I'm here and I get to talk to you, Heather.
Isn't that this the best? I know. I started working for myself just a few months ago, as a lot of my listeners know. And it's just been glorious to to work for yourself, but you know, the broader part of that is being able to like put things out into the world that are really, you are so excited about, and that energy is kind of transmitted to the person who's receiving it, and sending out like really good goods and services and consulting and all of those things. It's literally just so joyful. It gives you so much energy to just do better and for your clients, for your patients, for whatever it might be. So I absolutely, absolutely know and love that feeling. Well, okay. We kind of want to know, like literally, this is not scripted. I never script any of my shows, but like, what is this? Like, tell me like, what are the main components? Obviously I know what you're going to say, cause I say it all the time. It's individualized. I say that literally thousands of times a day, but like, what were some of the key features that were so different from like all the crash dieting that we're so used to, that you were so used to?
Yeah. So first of all, over the course of the 12 weeks, we start out really on sort of these fundamentals of nutrition and how the body works and how the body uses food and fuel. And then in the second half, we really get into sleep and stress and holidays and behavior change and all of these things that make this not quite so easy. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So it really, so fundamentally, it's very comprehensive. Right. But on the nutrition side, what ultimately happened for me in learning this, and I'll go into a couple of things in a second, but ultimately, I remember like in my old job in this hedge fund, we were on a floor that was like a bunch of hedge funds, and there was a communal kitchen. And so on Monday mornings, there was like fruit and then mini bagels and croissants and muffins and all of those kinds of things for breakfast. And on Fridays, there was pizza for lunch. I know.
My wheels, I'm always like, do they want to just keep us addicted to sugar? So we just...
Totally. So, well, it's what's cheap, right? They're providing it. So that's what's, you know. Which is a whole other can of worms that we can talk about or not. But so I remember there were times of like walking into that kitchen and like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I just not eat the mini croissant or the mini whatever, right? Yeah. Like, why does it have a voice? Why is it talking to me? You know, and why do I suck? Like, why can't I just not hear that voice or not eat the thing? You know?
Yeah.
Ultimately, through what I learned, I was able to then walk into that kitchen and go, wait, I get why that's appealing to me right now. What I actually need is this. Mm-hmm. Let me go have the thing that I brought for breakfast and then see how I feel about the croissant after. Mm-hmm. It changed every food decision from being emotional, like, why do I suck, to intellectual. Like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Of course. And I'm feeling like this. So that's what I need. Right. So I sort of describe it as fundamentally whether we are burning fat or storing fat comes down to blood sugar. Because if our blood sugar is too high and if our blood sugar is too low, we're storing fat. So it's about how to eat, not just what to eat, to keep our blood sugar balanced and to provide our body with the building blocks that it needs. To function well, to have energy, to minimize cravings, to, right? Like all of these kinds of things, like it's all connected. And we can go down whatever rabbit hole you want. But the point being, like learning this information, it was like, it's not eat less, move more. It's not eat all the cabbage soup and then, or all the Special K and then one meal.
Oh, I remember Special K.
Right? Or all of these bars and shakes and not eating real food, or like there isn't a diet out there that I haven't done, my family hasn't done, or like we don't know somebody who's tried it, you know?
So this, I've been asking a lot of people about this. And I don't know quite how to explain it, but I've always kind of intuitively thought, not always, but especially more recently, that any kind of restrictive diet is always telling yourself that you suck, right? Isn't that kind of what you're doing? Like, you're basically saying like, you can't eat that now because you sucked last week because you still suck. And that's not exactly totally true. There's maybe other ways you could do it. Someone else looks kind of like, well, you can kind of tell yourself, well, I want to do this this week. But I know there's like no absolutes, but I always felt like any type of crash diet or diet, I know we all know this, right? But when you really deep dig, it does kind of feel like you're telling yourself, well, I can only eat this left because, you know, I suck if I, right?
Right. So, and part of it is there's a few elements at play here, right?
Yeah, tell me.
So one is about motivation. And for a lot of people, when we start something, mm-hmm. right? What's the feeling that's driving us to start it?
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. We're typically really unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? We're unhappy with how we feel or what our clothes look like or, you know, what we're unhappy. And so that motivates us to start something. And then, because typically what we start is not designed for the long haul.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have to figure out how to keep things going.
Yeah.
And most of the time, subconsciously, and this is also like my theory also, this is not like backed by what I would call
hard
real science. This is like, right, yeah.
Well, we're pretty qualified right. in that I'm sure between the two of us, correct, we've talked to right, hundreds, exactly. if not thousands of women.
Totally, totally. So my theory is that in an effort to keep going, we go, okay, I need to motivate myself. Well, what motivated me is subconsciously, we're like, well, what motivated me when I was at my most compliant with whatever the plan is? What motivated me? Oh, I was really unhappy. And so we try to like beat ourselves up into compliance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reality is part of the process, part of the work that we want to do is learning to shift what motivates us.
Hmm. Yeah.
From what we don't want to what we do want. So I want to feel good. I want to have energy. And so there's a lot of different ways to approach that, right? There's also, you know, crowding out, like focusing on what we're adding in versus focusing on what we're eliminating.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, especially the way fad diets and calorie restrictive plans are outlined, it creates a focus. It creates a dramatic deficiency of raw material in the body to be able to have any other thought. So that's also not
helping the process.
Right. But it's also not our fault either. Yeah. Like the idea that we're going to be able to have a positive mood.
Well, we're in a calorie deficiency.
Or, exactly. Right, exactly. And if we're taught to eat less and move more, you know, it doesn't, you don't need either of our backgrounds to know that cucumbers are different than a Twix for your body. But in a calorie focused world, if you keep the calorie count okay, that differentiator doesn't really matter. The reality is for our body, it does. And so if what we're focusing on is putting in the proper raw material, we can get the output that we're looking for and we don't have to think about the calories. That stuff will take care of itself because your body can self-regulate cucumbers and carrots and blueberries. Your body cannot self-regulate Starburst and Skittles and Twix.
I heard that like the most unhealthy food for you on the planet is like Skittles. And it was so funny because I haven't had a Skittle in like a really long time just because they're like, I don't know. If I'm going to reach for something, it's like usually chocolate, but that my mouth just like watered, like thinking as a kid of just like digging in and just like, you know, like putting like seven in your mouth at once. And then you do think you're like, it's just chewy, literal chewy sugar. I mean, so many things are chewy sugar. And the thing, you know, one of the things that you said that I kind of want to remind like our listeners is like this, and I think about this all the time. We think about this as like, for me, like I'm a new business owner and I have three businesses. And it's so fast how you can tell yourself you suck without even thinking that's what you're doing or without even knowing. It's so subconscious, right? It's so subconscious. And this is the hard work that you have to do, I think, for any type of change, physical change or other, is this inner work. People, it's such a buzzword right now. And I kind of wish it wasn't because it makes it sound like Well, I know that's all the rage, but it's really shifting, just as you even said, but something from this makes me unhappy, so I want to go away from this to this made me so happy, I want to go towards that. It's so freaking hard. Like, you got to journal it, meditate it, walk it out, because it is so hard to get rid of those self-limiting beliefs, especially now. Let's talk about, like, if you've had years of crash dieting, if you've had years of bad information about nutrition, if you've had a bad coach before. I had a coach once, and there was a time and place for it, I guess, but like, she put me on a really restrictive diet, and we all kind of joked that I probably lost weight because I cheated all the freaking time. I cheated all the time. Like, a girlfriend has no self, what's the word? Power. But I cheated all the time. But when I was cheating, I was eating, like, you know, a little bit more almond butter than I was supposed to measure out, right? I was like 2 spoonfuls. Well, my body needed it.
Almond butter. Well, that, but also almond butter isn't what got us here. Right. So, like, this is maybe one of my sort of pet peeves in the industry, in the space, and with all the fat and the super restrictive things. And there's a few elements, of course, like, and my brain is going, I'm like, what do I say first?
Especially as, like, millennial girls, and like us 40 and 50 year olds, you know, we grew up in skinny diet culture. We know all the cabbage diets and all the weird things that were totally in, like, plain sight and endorsed.
Yes. Right. And the packaged food. I mean, we grew up eating packaged food for a majority of our fuel, right? Oh, yeah. Or whatever we call the things that we eat. Right, yeah. So there's a few things. One thing I want to go back to of what you were saying is that, like, how do we get ourselves to do this? How do we shift that mindset, right? And there's a lot of people who try to think their way first. Right? I would argue that the two things happen together. And sometimes it's a lot easier to just focus on eating some vegetables and fruit before we figure out how to change the dialogue in our minds. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that it gets easier over time because, mm-hmm. So a little nerdy, but analogy for everybody. So the vagus nerve, right? Is the literal connection between the gut and the brain. Okay? Think about the vagus nerve like a 5-lane highway. 3 of the lanes go gut to brain. 2 of the lanes go brain to gut. So you will never outthink what you are putting in your body. Mm-hmm. So if we start with some quality nutrition, mm-hmm. And I say this all the time, protein and fiber at every meal makes removing fat no big deal. Protein and fiber at every meal makes removing fat no big deal. Protein is clean, lean protein, whatever you like. Fiber is vegetables and sometimes fruit. Mm-hmm. And then a meal is really every time we eat. The only difference between a meal and a snack is how much we have. And then the other thing you want, you know, like 3 to 4 times a day is some quality fat, right? Like your almond butter. Mm-hmm. So
girlfriend,
if we start by just, right, just a spoon in the jar, I'm good.
Yeah.
So if we start with those things, all of a sudden the ability to shift what's happening in our mind is infinitely easier.
That's
because there's a lot less of a battle. So, and I also think motivation is, can I swear?
Yeah.
Okay. Motivation's bullshit. Everybody is sitting around waiting for lightning to strike to make us want to get up off the couch. Mm-hmm. And that's not how it happens. We don't have the motivation to do the activity until our body is used to the outcome of that activity. Right? So remember, Legally Blonde. Right? It's a feedback book. But remember, yeah. Legally Blonde, when she's like, happy people don't kill people, and like working out gives you endorphins. Mm-hmm. It's the endorphins that we become addicted to that mm-hmm. give us the motivation to then get off the couch. In the beginning, we aren't going to have that.
You're so right.
It's like, it's we're not.
Flat line.
So, right. So in the beginning, our objective is to get momentum. That's it. We want to get into momentum in order to get to the motivation. So if what we change the objective to in the beginning is momentum, then it's, okay, getting off the couch feels real hard right now. I'm just gonna stand up and like not sit down for 5 minutes. Maybe it's circles around my couch. Maybe it's, I'm actually just gonna go outside and walk around the block, literally one block, turn around and come back. But if we do that every day, we can get into momentum.
Ooh, I have a good question. This is so good. So what do you do when you have the person in front of you? I'm going to flip it on you, but only because you're so good. And I feel like I can. What do you do for the person who, you know, kind of different, like, is like, I've always been active. I've always eaten pretty healthy. And now I'm just gaining weight. This is something I see all the time. And so, you know, certainly I wonder how you tackle it. Like, I can prescribe medications, and those can be helpful. There's a place and time. Certainly there is. I do a lot of hormone therapy, of course, non-hormone therapy, et cetera, but not everyone wants medication. And so there is a time place for it. And a lot of my patients will say, well, let me try this for X number of months because I'm so used to fixing this for myself. And I want to know how to get my body to regulate. And I feel like it's, that one's really, really tough because they actually already are doing a pretty good job. So tell me, like, what do you do with those difficult cases? I'm currently also at the stage in my life where I am at the, I can't get off the, not the couch. I can't get away from my laptop. I can't get away from my laptop. And, you know, I know that I'm going to have to like shower, blah, 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 blah. But anyways, ignore me for a second. What do you do for the patient that's like person, client, you know, you listening?
I know.
It's like, no. I'm doing all of the freaking things.
Right. So a lot of times when it's the, I'm doing all the things and it's just not happening, this is where it's pretty individual comes in, but there are some themes that tend to, you know, reoccur among people. One of those is often not eating enough early in the day.
Oh, I was going to say not eating enough in general, but.
Well, that too.
But
especially early in the day.
Interesting.
Every time, odds are nighttime eating, sugar cravings,
alcohol.
We're not, right, that too.
Fine.
We're not getting quality nutrition early in the day.
So this gets into the whole, you know, I see a smile on your face, like intermittent fasting.
So, and by the way, I do think a lot of that tendency comes in because even if we've never had a thing with our health or our weight before, we live in this world. It's around us.
And we breathe it.
Right? So when we start to think, what I've done for a long time isn't working, I know what my friend did.
Yep.
Or I've heard this thing and we tried it. And then we're like, why am I gaining weight? I'm doing all the things, right? So
all the things.
A lot of, right? So it's, we can go to the fasting thing in a second. But like the other thing often is, especially for women, coffee before nutrition.
No, don't even. I'm going to crumple up. Tell me the things.
I'm not saying no coffee in the morning. I'm just saying coffee with food or after.
Interesting.
Because, and then the other things are like sleep and stress.
Yeah.
And like you said, not eating enough in general. So let's start with morning for a second, just to go with you, you know, to address the coffee thing and the fasting thing.
Chronologically, right. throughout the day.
Right.
I get the feeling vibe that we're going to have to do a part two.
But which is fine.
For sure.
I'm thrilled that we will keep going. So in the morning, cortisol naturally, stress hormone, cortisol, is naturally at its highest to wake us up, right? Or one of its highest in the day to wake us up.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
Right? We need that. It's part of waking up in the morning. Coffee as caffeine to also help wake us up increases that cortisol and the adrenaline without giving our body fuel to actually make it happen. And so essentially we're putting ourselves in a physiological state of fight or flight instantly in mm-hmm. the morning.
Mm-hmm.
When our body is in that stress response, in that fight or flight, sole purpose, sole focus is survival. So when our body is in a stress response and the focus is survival, anything that is not critical to survival in that moment turns off. Okay, so what's that? Our metabolism, right? Not important to burn fuel if I'm not going to live for the next 20 minutes.
Makes sense.
Right?
We're so primitive.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why, as much as there's so much individuality to things and the nuance, the fundamentals are just human, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our metabolism shuts off. Our reproductive system shuts off. Our immune system shuts off. Growing hair and nails, things that take up a lot of energy, shut off. Because none of those things matter if we're not going to live. So if we can just get some fuel in us
mm-hmm.
and then have the caffeine, we can send some signals to the body that we're okay, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can still have our coffee. And for a lot of people, even in that process of shifting, like it becomes less coffee, it becomes decaf, right? Like when we fuel ourselves, then we get to later in the day, when we sleep well, when we fuel ourselves well, when we manage that fuel before or with caffeine versus after.
Yeah.
We don't need as much coffee later in the day, which then doesn't keep us up at night, which allows us to sleep and have quality sleep.
I think what you're saying is in order to either lose weight or have the physique that you want, whatever that outcome is, you kind of have to take care of your whole self here. Like you have to take care of your whole self, your whole being. So like, you know, so many people have heard the like Victoria Beckham drinks her coffee and then she works out and then she eats at like noon. Right. But she's skinny as could be. So like, you know, how does intermittent fasting seemingly work for some people? Because your theory makes so much sense.
So we have to, when we talk about work, right? we have to define what that means. And fundamentally, we have to decide our desired outcome. I come from a place of our desired outcome is health and longevity and vitality and being able to do the things we want to do and live the lives that we want to live.
That sounds great.
Okay. Yeah. We don't know Victoria Beckham's lab work. Our society has the idea that if you are thin, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
What we see in the data is that that's not the case at all. Right. In fact, over 25% of the people, or about 25% of the people who qualify as obese are by the lab work healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And over 30% of the people who do not qualify as obese are not healthy.
Mm-hmm. That's
so, yeah.
There you go.
We have to change our definition. And so what we see is not always what we get when we're looking at someone's body and interpreting health. And it is a conversation far bigger than we're going to have right now to try to shift that. But maybe we're going to make a dent.
Right. I do think you made a great analogy, right? Because I'm always trying to think like, what are the listeners thinking at this moment as you're saying these things? And I kind of know what they're all saying because they tell me. And that is exactly just enough to reorient people's brains to be like, oh, yeah. You're right. Exactly. You're right. So how do some people seemingly do well with intermittent fasting?
Right. So intermittent fasting and the studies on intermittent fasting are like on men in their 20s.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Right. Biologically male bodies.
I can't. So much different. Incredibly different. I can't even. No, nope. Yep. Correct. We got it. Yeah. Okay. I was like, no. I will jump in. My listeners know.
Right. So let's back up to one step before we even get into the male-female thing. The average person, given 24 hours a day to eat, does not get the nutrition required for our bodies to function and have health. Full stop.
Yeah.
How we think that is going to happen in 6, 8, or 12 hours?
I know.
Right? Yeah. And part of it is the perception of intermittent fasting is that as long as I just eat in that window, it doesn't really matter what I eat. Yeah. And that is not the case because, again, we all know cucumbers are different than a Twix.
Mm-hmm.
So just fundamentally across the board, we might need more time in the day to give our body everything it needs.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we look at biologically female bodies versus biologically male bodies, we go through a different hormone cycle every day because we are progressing through a 30-day cycle. And then that cycle changes a few times in life too. So literally every day for a woman, biochemically, they are different
than they were
than yesterday and tomorrow. Before.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now we know. We know over here.
So, yeah. So male bodies will respond very differently to that. And think about what the female body can do. Like, we can make people.
Yeah. It's a science fiction thing.
Right. So if our body is going to do that, we need inputs. Not getting inputs is a sign of famine, and survival is at risk.
That's pretty freaking stressful. That would definitely release some cortisol for sure. Right.
Right. And then, you know, and like, again, we can go into a whole like reproductive rabbit hole, but point being, if we wake up and expect the body to function and perform without fuel, it is sending signals to the body that it is a time of famine. And then when we do eat, everything we eat is going to be stored as fat because remember, our body's number one goal is survival.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes this catch-22 of we think because for a lot of people, the practicality of a smaller eating window is calorie restriction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for a time that will quote unquote work, right? The scale will go down for a short period of time.
Right. It goes back.
Then
to
the body goes, uh-oh, right? The scale's going to stop moving. We're going to get frustrated. We're going to go back to these old eating habits. And what happens when we don't get enough nutrition, when we eat less to move more, right? That whole equation.
Mm-hmm.
Our body uses its own muscle for survival and fuel.
Yeah.
So now when we go back to those old eating habits and we have less muscle mass, because our body has been using its own muscle for fuel, we gain that weight back as fat.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So metabolically, we lose the weight as water, muscle, and bone. Gain it back as fat. So we might end up at the same number on the scale as we've been before, but by body composition, we are fatter at that same number.
Mm-hmm. This is exactly true. I bet everyone who's listening to this is like, yep, I know exactly that feeling of like, when I was this way before, I like fit into those clothes. It's bizarre, exactly. Right? And it gives us a weird concept because we're so used to thinking of our body as a literal number, which is completely wild. But again, we've been really conditioned to do that. And I think,
and even the way our doctors, and you know this better than I do, but even the way you were taught to talk to somebody about their health, like you look at the number on the scale, you don't look at body composition.
Right. I think exactly. I think there's more recognition, slightly now.
Yes.
But even if we do change physicians' minds, it is going to be impossible
socially
to undo, especially for those of us who lived through the '90s. It is, it's just going to be impossible to ever undo a lot of this. And doctors are humans too. So there's nothing saying that, like, as doctors, we can't say one thing to a patient, but then be like, gosh, I'm up 2 pounds.
Here's the thing. So there's a couple of things on that. One is divorce the scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So when I work with my clients, we measure and weigh ourselves once a month.
That's great.
So if you're an everyday person, at least just get to once a week. And then let's go to once every 2 weeks. And then once every 3 weeks. And then you can get to once every 4. Because it's a process, right? To like divorce the scale. But and then anytime we take one measurement, we take all the measurements, which means total weight, body fat percentage, and not BMI, but body fat percentage, and all the tape measure measurements.
Mm. You know,
so that we don't look at any one number in isolation.
Right. You can't.
And then, right. And then
I'm interrupting, but it goes back to what you were saying before. It's like you could be skinny and healthy, you could be obese and healthy, because you're right. It can't just be one number, right? Also, I like looking at cholesterol. I like looking at your blood pressure. I like looking at your liver function enzymes. Like there's so many end goals here to demonstrate health. And I think, you know, it's such a healthier way of looking at things in this like one dimensional way of looking at your body and looking at health.
Right. And then with your lab work, right, that you're going to do. And I think too, like for physicians to help patients understand what their lab work is telling them, instead of just saying everything looks fine.
It's normal.
Right. It's normal. Or whatever.
Fine. Yeah.
Right. I want everybody, you know, like the old Wonder Woman cartoon with like her cuffs, mm-hmm. right? And then she'd like put her like almost like her wrists and things would like bounce off those cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we sort of have to walk through this nutrition world
mm-hmm.
and this so social
you can
world.
Cut out the noise.
Because your cuffs, right? Putting on those Wonder Woman cuffs is your lab work. It is doing the things you know to do every day. It is, learning, I think, this information so that we can then hear what's happening in the news and then evaluate it rather than taking everything we hear as gospel.
Yeah.
Right. And so if we just walk around with our little Wonder Woman cuffs and stay focused on what we know is working for us, we can get to the point of consistency, which is ultimately, I always say, consistency is king, right?
The goal.
That's what we're looking for. You know, and by the way, consistency does not look like a straight line.
Right.
Right. Like, okay, I'm big on analogies and visuals. In my elementary school classroom, and I feel like it would be this way for other people too, because we like grew up at the same time, over the chalkboard, because yes, we still had chalkboards, was the alphabet like laid out left to right.
Yeah.
Okay. Think of a pendulum. Right now, for most people, we're living in that on-off, good, bad.
The compromised world.
Calorie restriction or binge, mm-hmm. right? Our pendulum is swinging A to Z, right? From one extreme to the other. The objective is to have the pendulum swing from like L to O. Mm-hmm. In the middle, back and forth, a little here, a little there, mm-hmm. right? A little like bob and weave, make it happen, right? That's the objective. Because also, I don't know if anybody knows it, but like because of like physics and the fact that like we're on an earth that's spinning, mm-hmm. a pendulum cannot hang straight down either. So it's not this perfect line for consistency either,
mm-hmm.
right? It's taking the A to Z and making it L to O, and just sticking in that L to O till the end of time.
Yeah. You know, it's so wonderful to hear your explanation. I love hearing your analogies because I always make analogies as well. And I'll do this with my patients and use visuals because they're really, really so helpful. And even in this like window of time, I think we can take so much away from this conversation about deconstructing some of the sort of myths or misconceptions, the fad dieting, and like why we have them, but like what could be better? What's a better way to do it? What's a more sustainable way to do it? And what is that? What could that look like? Like you gave a lot of actionable steps and like some big broad overviews. So where can people find you and how can they work with you?
Absolutely. So my website is asaladwithasideoffries.com. Podcast is Salad with a Side of Fries. All social media, I am at Jen Trepek, JennTrepek. Any platform, reach out. Let me know you heard me here. I'm happy to send you a link too for a complimentary discovery call. That's the first step. I want to hear your story. What's going on for you? Where are we at? And then we can figure out your best path forward.
I'm sending patients your way.
Thank you. Would love that.
we gotta have some kind of work. You know, I really do. I love this sort of approach. I mean, right. You're really thinking about a holistic health, the person as a whole, the woman as a whole, how to be better set up for success and health in general, right? Whether it starts with wanting to fit into whatever, or just not buy new clothes. I get it. But there's so much more that we could do here and help women with. Or you probably, maybe you also see men.
Absolutely. I do. I work with everybody. I also have a kids and family program because childhood obesity is a whole other can of worms. But
amazing.
Yes. And I think the piece to this is like nothing in the body exists in isolation. So we can't hyper focus on any one thing and expect the outcomes that we're looking for. And we also have to figure out how to live our lives. And I just believe that it's, how can we make all of this as easy as possible? Because nobody wins for making it the hardest.
Yeah. Yep. You're absolutely right.
So thank you for having me. This was so much fun. We could talk forever.
We could talk forever. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Everything will be linked in the show notes. I hope you guys loved this episode and kind of like this series that I'm doing on health and wellness and just kind of, you know, hearing from all these different voices. If you guys love the show, please give it some stars or reviews, and I will see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye, everyone.
If I haven't already done so, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Also, if you love the show, your stars or a quick review could really help other women who are searching for information on menopause and midlife around the globe find this show. If you want to work with me, consider the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. The link for that is in the description to this show. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for all your support, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode.